That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Welcome, everyone, to Thanksgiving with Neil Young and Friends. Please welcome your host for the show, Neil Young!
Show. Thanks for showing up via Zoom. And Stu Hoffman of the Village People. Everybody remembers the bus driver in the early years. And of course, Robbie from Sesame Street, my favorite character. Fuck Kermit and all the guys they always talk about. Robbie was the soul back in the day, back in the 70s. But let's start with Leonard. Yes. Welcome to the show.
It's my pleasure to be here. Mr. Young, thank you so much. Good to see you.
It's good to see you. Good to see a guy, a contemporary. Yeah,
it's been a while.
I want to do this show because, you know, with Van Morrison out there and Clapton, two other guys we used to hang with.
Oh, yeah.
Doing anti-vax stuff. And
yeah.
I want to do the opposite here, get together with some reasonable musicians.
Pro-vax musicians.
Pro-vax Thanksgiving together.
Those guys have become a real bummer.
That's right.
They sure have. Yeah, what about you? Well, Clapton was also, they both were always assholes, but I mean, come on.
They were fun. They were fun assholes for a while. Then now
well, they're going to write songs saying, take the mask off. I'm going to say, put it on my song. Let's welcome Stu Hoffman of the Village People.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I really can't tell you what the invite meant. I think people don't often think about me, and I just want to say thank you. Now look at me. Thank you.
Stu, every time I want to have people over to jam and you're around, you're the first person on the list.
I'm around, so I appreciate the invite.
For my listeners,
you're my favorite. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead, Leonard.
I don't mean to blow up your spot, but I just want to say that Stu is my favorite member of the Village People.
I really appreciate that, Leonard. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Well, the old man likes to talk here. I'm sorry. But when I listen to some Village People records, I have my equalizer set up to emphasize your vocals. Really, it's a solo act to me.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I saw your name on the list and I decided, hey, better check out some of his music before we get on here.
This is the first time you listened to it, was it?
Yeah. I just thought I wanted to be sort of familiar. And you know what? Keep going. You got some really great stuff.
Well, everybody knows.
I think you should keep going.
Leonard Cohen.
Yeah, no, I'm.
Yeah,
feel
of
all
course.
Right about
everybody,
my career, actually.
Everybody knows Leonard Cohen. Everybody's going to know Leonard
everybody
Cohen.
Everybody knows. But for our listeners who aren't our age, let's get into the early history of Village People. You were the character of the bus driver.
Yeah.
A lot of people know the cop, construction worker.
Well, I actually
was a Native American Indian.
very rich story, I think. You know, I'm sort of a transit driver. When I started the group, they were like, why not be like a politician or, you know, an actor or something, you know, something flashy. And I said, no, I want to connect with the people. And how do you connect with the people? You take them to the market. You take them to another grocery store. You know, you get them from place to place and you get them home safely. And so I said, I will be the bus driver.
Yeah, there was a lot of criticism that your costume wasn't as distinguishable as, you know, the other guys. And that's why you didn't have as many of the early fans.
Yeah.
I thought it was about the music.
No, I appreciate that. You know, I did opt for a Kansas City bus driver uniform, too, which I think was a little specific. And I don't think a lot of people understood maybe the nuance on that. But, you know, I think it's about the message. The music is about the message at the end of the day.
Now, speaking about music, it's about the message.
I just want to say I never noticed the other guys. I never knew there was a cop, and I'm not aware of these other people. Never knew there was a construction.
You thought it was just the village person?
It was all bus driver to me, and I'm a huge fan. Not a day goes by that I don't put on a little VP.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. I'll sign a little something for you afterwards. You know, maybe I can introduce you to my manager or something like that.
I have a good manager, but thank you.
Okay. Well, hey. You know, if you're ever looking to move on up.
Well, guys, let's introduce our other guest here from Sesame Street. Do you still live there, Robbie? Welcome to the show.
No, man. I moved from New York a while back, man. I'm out here in California, man. Yeah.
Calabasas. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Calabasas.
Yeah. Been living out here longer than I lived in New York, man. I was born and raised on Brooklyn. So, you know.
So you were in the original Sesame Street cast all the way up to 79.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I left in 79. Yeah. Little known character. I called Robbie the Blue Boy. I had a song. I don't know if you remember it. It was called I'm Blue and I'm Proud. It was around the same time as Being Green Ain't Easy, and they decided to go in that direction more than, you know, a more militant direction, which is what my song.
Are you saying at that point that you and Kermit were kind of equals in the cast, and he was as the star and pushed forward in the cast as much?
There was thoughts about that, yeah. You know, at that time, there weren't that many blue people on Sesame Street. You know, there was me, Grover. That's about it. Cookie Monster's a deeper blue. He's not blue like me. He's from a different place. So, you know, he's not blue like us. Basically, it's me.
You don't consider Grover. Cookie Monster a blue Muppet in the same?
He's a lot darker blue. No, we don't. No.
All right.
Basically, me, Bunsen Honeydew, Grover.
How about the Count is, he's blue or purple or something.
Count is purple.
Mm.
He's purple man. Not that there's anything wrong with that. It's different, you know. Mm. So what I'm saying is there weren't a lot of blue people.
Can you give us an acapella taste of I'm Proud to Be Blue?
Yeah, it was something like every other color sucks. I'm black, I'm blue, and I'm proud. Put all the other colors down.
Oh, that's coming back to me. I remember this.
It's like a Malcolm X kind of version of being proud of blue.
Down, down, down. We can't get our freedom without you being down. It's a zero-sum game. Only one race can win. You know, something like that. And I think the green thing, you know.
Kermit's song was more, I don't know, it was more inclusive.
It's a little bit more popular back then, and it's a little bit more melodic. I can dig it. You know, I dig where it was coming from, everybody was coming from back then. You know, no skin off my nose. I made my money. You know what I mean?
Robbie, I just want to say I was a huge fan of your era of Sesame Street, and I personally stopped watching that show after you left.
Oh, man. Thank you. Thanks a lot, man. Different back then.
Yeah, when they started to focus on Snagglepuss, I felt they were kind of selling out.
Snagglepuss.
Snuffleupagus.
Sir, Snagglepuss was a Hanna-Barbera character.
Yeah.
Snuffleupagus. I didn't respect him. That's why I can't remember his name.
Yeah, I'm actually here. That was a drawing. So, you know. Anyway, I was offended by that, but that's okay. We'll get over it. Yeah, man. It's a different time back then, Sesame Street, you know. And I don't know if you remember, but, you know, New York was different, man. You know, it wasn't as clean as it is now. And we used to have to do something that maybe you didn't ever see. It was called Sesame Street After Dark. And the Sesame Street, man, it changed, man, at night. You know what I mean? It's a different place.
Yeah, yeah, that was dangerous. All you're saying?
Oh, New York was a different place, man, back then, man. Sesame Street was too, man, after dark. After the, the things came down on the windows, you know, that was nighttime. That was my time, you know, to be honest.
I always felt it was unfair that they called Oscar a grouch. He's out there on the street all night and obviously doesn't want someone lifting a lid off his can.
To be honest with you, it should have been Oscar the addict. To be honest with you, man.
Ouch.
I'm just going to tell you like it is. You
know, it's rough to hear.
Dude was strung out, but that's the way it was back then, man. You know, a lot of junkies and pimps, prostitutes, you know, on the streets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I always thought more Sesame Street songs should have the lyric, only one race can win.
That's what I'm saying, too. But obviously, you know, different time. You know, people were nicer back then. Mm-hmm. Now it probably would play.
Well, it's been these times are tough for everyone right now. And that's why I wanted to have a Thanksgiving show and give my best musician friends all around. And, you know, I think it's always good this time of year just to share with each other what Thanksgiving means to us. And late in the show, we'll talk about things we're thankful for. But I'm curious what you guys always like to get around with the family and eat on Thanksgiving. And everyone has their special family recipes. Anybody want to share?
Well, in the Cohen household, I'm not going to lie, I'm a sucker for mashed potatoes. And I want the skins left in that mix, and I want some extra gravy, and, I'm never happier than when I'm sticking my face directly into a bowl of mashed potatoes. Gobble, gobble, gobble.
Do you like to mix other stuff in there? Like, do you like to put your turkey in there?
I love it.
Use it as like almost a sauce, like you put...
Sauce or kind of like the potatoes, you know, the way like in New England you can get clam chowder in a bread bowl. I like to have my Thanksgiving dinner in just a bowl of potatoes. It's all about the potatoes. I could do without the turkey, frankly.
Really?
I mean, I don't mind it. I know that's what a lot of other people's jam is, but for me it's potatoes.
And will you play with the potatoes and form faces, or do you like it so much you're just going to start eating and keep eating until you finish? Or do you stop and enjoy the malleability of the potatoes?
I'll try to. Variety is important to enjoy the meal. So, yeah, I'll play around with texture. I'll eat other foods as sort of a palate cleanser only. You know, I'll switch to a spoonful of cranberry sauce and then right back to the potatoes.
Yeah, more specifically, I'm saying, will you put some peas in the potatoes?
Oh, peas.
In their eyes.
Oh, yeah, make faces and stuff like that?
Sure.
Yeah, I like to make faces in the potatoes and then have a conversation with it, or maybe do a little kissy-kissy with the potato face and then gobble it right up. Peas for eyes is great, you know, carrots for a nose.
And when you kiss it, do you lean over it to kiss it, or do you bring it up to your face and the potatoes kind of fall into your chest?
Depends on the character that I have imbued upon the potatoes that year. If sometimes I am the aggressor and sometimes I am the courted.
Aggressor?
Well, hey, I come from a different time. Don't cancel me. But I'll sometimes be the initiator and I'll lean forward and kiss the potatoes, and sometimes the potatoes comes up and kisses me.
Yeah.
Depends. Last year I had a real...
people to not pay much attention to lyrics from our time.
Got to see them in the context that they were. I'm the aggressor is a song of mine that I wouldn't play a lot in later concerts.
Robbie, what do you eat on Thanksgiving? Robbie's
in space.
You know what I like to do on Thanksgiving, man? Sorry about that. I was talking to my valet. Every Thanksgiving, man, I like to go to a strip club. You know, nobody's thinking about the strippers, man.
Oh, they have notoriously the worst food in the world.
Well, you may think so, but it's a nice time. I'm thinking about the people who are doing less than us, you know what I mean? So I like to volunteer. I like to think of myself as volunteering to go into a strip club because, you know, this is a time when everybody's with their families and nobody's thinking about the strippers out there, you know, who have to work
And all these guys, all these Johns, they're at home, you know, pretending like they love their family and their wife, and they're not spending money at the strip club. So I like to go to strip
That's
club.
That's true. I didn't think of it that way.
Yeah.
That's the one day a year people can't bullshit and go somewhere else. They can't go with their mistress or with a stripper.
Where are you going to go?
Gotta be with their family.
A lot of loneliness at the strip club on Thanksgiving Day, man. A lot of loneliness.
But I'll stick with my question. What do you like to eat at the strip club on Thanksgiving?
What do you eat there? Would saying vagina be that? Would that be untoward?
That joke always crosses my mind. So I'll accept it.
All right, then. Okay. Yeah.
So, Stu.
Yes.
What about you? What do you have, a family recipe or something you enjoy particularly on eating on Thanksgiving?
Here's what I'll say. When I parted ways from the people, that's sort of what we'd call each other, the people, and it was a weird time, and I decided, hey, I'm gonna take some time back. I'm gonna spend some time with my family, my two beautiful kids and my husband. And, you know, I think families go through things, of course. And I found a lot of solace in my Bronco Sport, 11, 5-year warranty. So I had that warranty until about 2016. And I find that the best recipe for a good Thanksgiving is just getting out on the highway for a little bit. Taking a ride. Sort of seeing the sights.
Wow, that's an abstract recipe there.
I'm kind of an artist.
Len,
if you just want to write some of this down, I think this is going to be really helpful for you at some
point. I'm pretty confident in my own lyrics, but as a fan, I appreciate
I
your suggestion.
That energy. Yeah. I love that
You've
energy.
Never really heard of me before because I've done all right for some time.
Like I said, I listened to a couple of your things. You got a similar vibe. There's a movie that came out, and it seems like you're kind of doing what the movie did. There was Oscar Isaac was in it.
Well, I don't know that.
I don't know what you're referring to, but
I see.
As a fan, I'm happy to hear your support.
Yeah, I'm a new fan, and I'm a new fan, and I'm going to be in your corner no matter.
You were
what.
Out in the late 70s, is that right? I mean, I was really already cooking pretty good by then.
I see. Well, true artist, I was sort of on that bus route most of the time as kind of getting into character. So
I just told you how I play the Village People almost every day, and
I appreciate that. I hope it inspires.
It will.
Yeah, I found all these recipes inspiring. You know, we just go with the typical Canadian moose brain. You just 30
moose
days.
Brain.
And that's traditional Canadian?
You haul out a moose brain 30 days before Thanksgiving, and then you fill up with maple syrup, and you broil it slowly for 30 days, and...
You know, I'm Canadian, and I don't remember.
Remind me, Neil, where are you from? What part
Ottawa.
Of Canada? Ottawa.
Oh, yeah.
The capital.
That explains it.
And isn't your Thanksgiving like in July or something like that?
Yeah.
All right. All right. I'm just checking, man. So you think that's legitimate, then? You think it's a legitimate Thanksgiving?
I'm an American citizen, so I'm a citizen of a few other countries, so I get to do everyone's Thanksgiving.
And is your Thanksgiving the same as ours? I mean, do you like respect the Indians on your Thanksgiving?
Ours is specific. I'll speak for, well, Leonard, you tell me your perception of our history, but ours is about how Columbus came over here and the Native American Indians taught them how to put a fish in the soil. Will help the corn grow better. And we thank everyone for that tip.
Yep, that's what our Thanksgiving is all about. Fish in the soil.
Ours was about how we dominate them. And then every year, you know, we remind them of how they were conquered. That's why we play football on Thanksgiving. Am I wrong about that? Or?
Oh, I don't know. But when I was watching the Atlanta Braves... game the other day. It seems like the Native Americans were winning that day because of bad pitching choices.
Hey, man, I just that's what I say every time I go to the casino. Seems like this is a winner, but, you know.
So the three foods are mashed potatoes, driving a bus, and eating pussy. Am I remembering that right?
Not driving a bus. That would be incorrect. Driving a Bronco Sport 11.
My apologies.
5-year warranty.
As a fan, I don't want to get that wrong.
I appreciate that.
So, Leonard, why don't you get us going with a Thanksgiving song from you? Or not, just whatever song you'd like that moves the spirit.
We'll go mute here while you sing.
Song about something I'm thankful for. So my fingers are a little cold, so let's be forgiving if we get a little clunky clunks in a couple of the notes here.
Don't be nervous,
Stu, but really, although I appreciate your support, I want to assure you that I have been successful for some time.
That's the spirit.
All right. January in 2009, the plane left LaGuardia just fine, but some geese flew in the engine and obatruia. The plane was falling through the air, not a runway anywhere, but a riverbed will do if Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya, Sully flew ya, Sully flew ya. When I heard the story, I was floored. 155 passengers aboard, but you don't really care for flying, do ya? A plane was adrift. Some geese had made the engine split, but they landed safe in the Hudson River, 'cause Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya. Sully. Sullenberger, when it came to attention, he'd always defer, but you know he wasn't after fame, now do ya? When he landed in the river that day, and 155 people walked away, the world all sang together, hey Sully flew ya, Sully flew ya, Sully. God above, but all I've ever learned from love was how to shoot somebody who outflew ya. And it's not a cry that you hear at night, it's not someone who's seen the light, it's a cold and it's a broken unless Sully flew ya. Sully flew ya. Sully. Sully flew ya, Sully flew ya, Sully flew ya, Sully flew. Ooh. Ooh, yeah.
That's amazing. That's really good, Leonard.
Thanks so much.
I always enjoy it when you do that Jeff Buckley cover.
Yep.
Oh, I actually originally wrote the song. That's maybe
potato, potato, right?
Well, his version is really what a terrific voice on that kid. He did a heck of a job, but I did originally.
Are you sure he didn't do it first?
I mean, I'm sure. Yes, I mean, definitely. I remember writing it.
I think that's his song.
I mean,
are you sure he didn't hear it and you wrote it down?
No, I wrote it. I wrote it several years before he did it. No, I mean, look, I agree that his is the signature version, but...
And the better version too, right?
I mean, look, the kids...
Well, it's definitely the signature and the better, yeah. But I think it's the original too.
It's the one I love. That's for sure.
It's rude.
Hearing you sing it reminded me of that.
It's hurtful.
Saying
too.
That Jeff Buckley didn't do the original version of Hallelujah is like saying Whitney Houston didn't do the original version of
the Bodyguard theme.
The Bodyguard song.
I will always love you.
I was going to say Crack, but you said Bodyguard. That's funny.
I'll always love you too, but that's the Bodyguard theme.
That is an accurate metaphor because in both cases, those people did not do the... Hey, no disrespect on these terrific followers. Look, you guys have never heard of me, really? Because I swear I'm doing pretty okay.
I've heard of you, Leonard. I just...
We're friends.
Good hey, friend
Leonard.
Of mine.
Hey, Leonard.
Yeah.
I just jumping in. I'm a little worried about your cold hands.
They oh, yeah. seem
very cold based on some of that guitar playing.
I think I was doing all right. I think I was doing all right.
I'm just saying, I can warm
They're
them
quite
up
cold. I'm glad that I'm outside here, actually.
Yeah, it's cold up here in Canada.
Yeah, it's cold up here.
Up here in Ontario. I'm from Ottawa or Ontario. I forget. Something with an O.
Well, if I remember correctly, Ottawa is in Ontario, so that checks out.
I don't know.
Pretty snarky bunch. Pretty snarky bunch here for Thanksgiving. You know, we're all friends, but seems like there's a lot of shade being thrown left and right.
But
that's
let's
not really
talk
that's
about
not
that.
VP spirit.
Let's talk about that hero in your song, Sully. It's good to be thankful guys, for heroes.
Yeah, I just saw the movie and I was like, this guy's incredible.
Oh, I didn't know he had a movie. That's good. What about you, Stu? Is there a hero from your life that you're thankful for? Someone that you're like, that's a true hero right there.
I think a lot of people in this instance might say, you know, maybe it's my kids, not me. It's my car. My car saved my life. I think
your Bronco,
my Bronco Sport, I think really gave me a lot of purpose and a lot of meaning. And I think post my split from the people, it was tough to sort of figure out what my path in life was going to be. And I think my Bronco Sport taught me sometimes it's okay to just go off-road. You know, it's okay to veer off the path and you can find your way back with those all-terrain wheels. So.
Wow. You go abstract with your heroes and meals.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Sort of, you know, sort of my thing. That was what I was known for. So, you know, it's nice that I can bring that to the table here.
That's why I loved you.
Now, thank Robbie, you. who's your hero? A recent one or from the past? Do you have a hero that you thank on Thanksgiving?
You might not know him. His name is Tookie Carter. He's in prison now. He was the original leader of the Crips. Would you consider the Crips? Yeah, that's my hero.
Wow.
All right. Okay.
Guy really turned his life around, man.
So he was blue.
Well, he repped blue, the gang. But
so were you a Crip by nature since you are blue?
No. I'm original. I'm way older than that, man. I'm not a Crip or nothing like that. I'm from New York, but I just just was really into the lifestyle, really into the streets.
Yeah. Right. Why was he your hero?
Just what he made of himself, after he went to prison. Really made something out of himself. I'm just a street guy. I have street heroes. So he was one of them. You know what I mean? So all my heroes were like, pushers and dope dealers, pimps and pushers. You know what I mean? So, yeah. Gangsters.
I remember when you were on Sesame Street, you would talk a lot about territory.
I try to.
You would tell people to get off your corners and...
That's right.
Just out of respect, you'd say, just trying to respect.
Say, hey,
off.
I saw a big bird over here, the other day. Maybe we should, maybe this is his spot. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I respected other people's spot, too.
Mm-hmm.
I respect yours. You
talked about
mine.
Respect and territory quite a bit on that show.
Well, that's what it's all about,
Early Sesame Street was a lot more about the actual street and street
that's
corners.
That's right. It's the streets. It was actually called Sesame Streets at the beginning. And they took the S off the, beginning. But myself, I still call it Sesame Streets. Just my age, I put S's on a lot of the ends of words that
that I use, but yeah.
This is maybe inappropriate, and I'm sorry, stop me if it's too much. They didn't really explain your absence from the show. You were just sort of gone one day. My kids were just such big fans. Can I ask what happened there?
Contract stuff, man.
Contract, you know, okay. Yeah. I see.
Politics.
I get that.
Politics.
You know, politics. I get that.
Same on the street as it is in the boardroom. You know what I mean? It's all about politics, you know? And, you know, politics got me out of there. You know what I'm saying, man? They said I had a bad attitude. You know, wanted to do my own thing. And it's just as well, you know?
I get that.
I went on to do a lot of things. I went on to get a nice voiceover career. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm doing voiceovers, man.
Oh. Good for you. Good for you.
It's unique for a puppet.
Yeah, I found out I didn't need to be in front of the camera all the time. You know what I mean? Sometimes you can just be the voice behind the scenes. You know what I mean?
Sometimes when I'm hearing a voiceover in a commercial, that might be a puppet doing the voice.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Yeah. It's true, Leonard. That's
right. Interesting.
What's that supposed
to mean? I don't see how that makes a difference. You know what I mean?
No, I just think it's interesting.
A voice is a voice. You know what I mean? And I don't like to discriminate. Like, is that an Indian person or is that a puppet?
No, I don't think I was saying that. But all right, you know what? Note taken.
You know what? No problem, man. You know, a lot of people, man, when they're first starting out, they make mistakes when they talk.
I'm not starting again. There's a conception here.
I made a mistake today. I said snagglepuss when I meant to say snuffleupagus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they occupy the same spot in my brain.
What's the worst thing that happens when you make a mistake? You make it in public. Everybody laughs at you. You lose your job. Nobody wants to talk to you anymore. You get divorced. You know, your career takes a little bit. Then you buy a car, and that's.
I thought you were
going to
say nothing at the beginning of this whole.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be an
or nothing. Or nothing.
Not these days, man. You make a mistake, everybody's in your business. You know what I mean?
He gets it.
I do get it.
People still don't let me forget about Pono. Did you ever get one of those, Brett?
I didn't.
Did you get one of my Ponos?
The high fidelity music player you tried to compete with.
Yes, which
Apple
only had a library of my songs.
Yeah, and it looked like a Toblerone.
Why didn't anyone buy that?
I got one. Huge fan.
Thank you, Leonard.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Anyway, I would really like to hear from you, Stu. It's been a while since I've heard you sing live. Do you got something for us?
Oh, man. You know, I'd love to, but I got to get out of here. I really got to get out of here. I would love to sing, but I really got to get out of here. You know, I got some errands to run. I got some stuff to do. I'd love to do it. But you know what? Here's what I'll do. Oh, hold on.
What's happening?
Where did I put that? You know what? Here's what I'll do. Well, I'm looking for this. While I'm looking for this, I'll sing a quick song, okay? While I'm looking for this real quick to get out of here, I'll sing a song for you. How does that sound?
All right, I'm confused, but go for it.
All right, here we go. Okay, they're not under the couch, I said okay. Not in the bowl by the door, okay, okay. Not on my computer desk, there's no need to worry just yet. Calm down, check the ground by the car, take a deep breath. Look back under the couch, come on, think hard. I cannot leave without them, okay. Now I'll start to panic. Wait. kids. They are 14 and 10, and I cannot find them, and they answer to Rodney and Richard. I think I lost my kids. Oh God, not again. Their other dad will be mad, but fuck him, it's my weekend. Plus he's in Cabo with his new boyfriend. Think man, what do kids like to do? They like wishing and sing on stoops. They like glassware and they like sleuthing around. The kids really like reading old maps. Okay, are there any maps here? Truly any map, just as long as it's old, or the kids will have no interest in the map. My kids really only like old maps. We have to find a map so I can find my kids. I wanna be a good dad, but I don't really like maps, so we don't really have anything to talk about. I think my kids might be weird. Please don't tell their other dad that I said that. Not that you know him at all, but he'd make it a big deal. Plus, he left me for a 22-year-old named Ford. Oh, you know what? No, hold on. Can we cut the music? Can we just, hold on. You know what? My kids are in my car. I left the kids in the car.
Well, that's good.
They're
to
in
remember.
The car. I'm, hey, that was
happy
dumb.
Happy ending.
Thank you. Yeah, I cracked the window. I left them in the car. They like hanging out in the car sometimes. And I put on their favorite radio station. And I put a little note in the window that said, the kids are happy in the car. Don't break the window. It's fine. I can hang for a little bit longer, I think.
Oh, I was nervous there at first. I thought you'd lost your keys.
No, I would never lose my keys. They are on a carabiner on my belt loop at all times. And then I have a backup set.
You can always get more
box.
Keys or more kids.
Always get more kids. The keys are important because these are the original keys. And so there's a little decal on them with the 2011 logo. And if you lose that, you just don't get that back, you know?
I can't remember if I have kids. Do I have kids? Leonard, do you have kids?
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. I have so many albums, I find it hard to believe I'd have time to produce a kid.
My work is my child's.
Brett, do I have kids? I feel if I did, they'd be recording artists by now. So I don't think I do. Do they? Do I?
Yeah, so you have Zeke Young, Ben Young, and Amber Jean Young.
Oh, that's a lot of kids.
Yeah, you have three kids.
I don't think I've sung one song about any of them. I remember putting Zeke in any of my lyrics. Oh, well. But we all should be thankful for our families, what that song was about, I think. Trying to worry that you would be so worried about not knowing where your kids are, that would cause you anxiety.
Yeah.
That shows you love them.
Well, you know, Dan, my ex, said that, you know, if something happened to the kids, he'd come after the Bronco sport. And so I really need to make sure that I'm doing a good job keeping the custody agreement. And, you know, my kids aren't bad. They're not bad kids. It's just sometimes it's tough. You know what I mean? Sometimes it's tough to be a dad.
It's especially when you're a musician or an entertainer like all of us here. Yeah.
Was one of the places you thought you left your kids on your desk? Did I hear that right?
You know, kids do crazy things. Sometimes, yeah. You know, one time I walked in.
Didn't you think that was keys, Leonard?
I really thought we were going for keys when you thought you left your kids on your desk or maybe under the couch. I thought maybe those are keys. You know, I don't often lose people under couches.
Well, kids like to hide under couches sometimes. You know how, you know, when you walk into a house and then you go to sit on the couch, but you check underneath it first to make sure that a kid didn't crawl under there. It's just like that.
No, I've never done that.
Never done that.
Never?
No. And I want to ask you about maps. Your children are into maps?
Yes. My children love maps. Sort of, you know, any kind of map. It doesn't really matter.
So not GPS.
A world map. Not GPS.
Maps.
Oh, well, it's not about finding stuff. It's about sort of scouring the map, maybe for clues, is sort of what they're really into.
Do they like Thomas guides?
Thomas guides?
Do you know what a Thomas guide is?
Of course.
Gotta have your Thomas guide driving around LA.
Of course.
Pilot season, man.
Pilot season. You said it. You said it, Robbie.
Man, the '80s, man.
Leonard, who was Thomas? Do you think that had this guide of L.A.?
Yeah, who is this guy?
Streets.
Real OCD guy, I guess, that made all these intricate maps of the L.A. streets.
And we really trusted him for some reason.
He was a man.
I always assumed it was a tank engine. Nobody? Anybody? No?
Thomas.
I wondered.
The train?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, but had to know how to get around.
He knew how to get around, right. Train tracks all day. You should know the streets.
Thomas was everywhere for a little bit, and then he just kind of disappeared overnight. Do you know what happened to him by any chance?
I don't know. Maybe he's with your kids.
Oh, he's doing good, man. He's retired.
Oh, retire. Oh, that's good to
hear.
Oh, I
good
see.
To hear. He deserves
yeah.
it.
Yeah, yeah. He's in Boca Raton.
Now, Robbie, do you have any children or immediate family?
No, I don't, man. I'm single, man. I've been single all my life, man. Just, you know, it's just me. Yeah.
Oh, really? Do you keep in touch with any of the old Sesame Street gang?
Not really. Not too many other people, you know. I left kind of early, so I did my own thing. A lot of people aren't around anymore, as you know. Snuffleupagus, he passed a few years ago.
Oh, God.
I went
so
to the funeral.
To
oh, it's all good, man. He was
imaginary.
A good long life. A lot of people were there. So got to connect with a lot of people, you know, around. So it's been good. Mm. And I get to see a lot of the people. Tracy Morgan, he comes around every once in a while, you know, I talk to him.
Love Tracy.
Yeah.
I forgot he was on Sesame Street.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'd also like to just right now, you know, I think we should just talk about the things that we're thankful for, because that's what I would do with my family when my sons, Ben, Zeke, and the other one, and those wives, we would sit around and eat moose brain, but first we'd hold hands and just take turns going around the table and saying what we're thankful for. Would anybody like to start? I'll start. I'm thankful for this new Dune. I didn't think I'd like it.
Mm-hmm.
I was a fan of the book a little bit. I didn't like having to learn the language. I thought that was a little much. But the David Lynch movie was horrible.
Mm-hmm.
It almost turned me off watching this one, but I watched it and I'm enjoying it. And I'm also thankful for The Expanse on Amazon Prime. I haven't watched the last season, but I know it's available to me.
Mm.
And sometimes it's just good to be not thankful for what you've had or what you have, but what you're going to have.
Mm.
And I'm going to have a whole season of The Expanse.
That's great, Neil.
I love that. And I think sort of to jump off of that for me, what I'd say is, I've lived a couple of lives here, right? I was part of the biggest band in the history of the world, still sort of beloved. And, that obviously I took some time away and, you know, the family.
I want to freeze on that one. Brett, what would you say about that? I would say it might be the Beatles. You think it's Village People?
Better than the Beatles?
Stu just said biggest band in the history of the world.
Better is subjective, but certainly bigger.
Bigger, yeah.
Like just pound for pound, like actual weight? Or because there's
was that a slam, Brett?
It's not a slam.
Are you fat shaming?
Slim.
Are you fat shaming the Village People? Who seem to see
they seem stronger.
Listen,
I go to a lot of American baseball games, and I hear a Village People song at every American baseball game, and I don't hear too many Beatles songs at those games.
That's very true.
I really appreciate that. I don't know why everyone's coming after me, sort of kicking me when I'm down, which I think leads me to what I'm grateful for, which is also going to be the new Dune movie. I also think that is what I'm grateful for this Thanksgiving, because it showed me that your life can start out bad and still kind of end up good in a reboot. So I'm also going to say the Dune movie, if that's okay with you, Brett.
Okay.
That's fine with me, yeah.
Well, I guess I just have to go ahead and agree with that and make that my thankful thing too, is the Dune movie, man. I mean, I'm not I'm not into bullshit like that, but I guess nerdy white people need something to do.
You don't have to be thankful for it because we are. What are you
thankful
for?
Well, no, I mean,
for?
I don't want to be different from anybody else, and I see the commercials.
You can be thankful for the new Dave Chappelle, the closure special. I don't care.
Yeah, but
be thankful
I'm,
for whatever
I'm,
you
I'm
want to.
I'm not,
to.
Though. I'm not. I'm not, though. I'm not, so. I'm not Team Dave. I'm not Team Netflix. I'm not Team anybody in this team. Instance. I'm
what
really,
are you thankful for? You don't have to be thankful for. I'm saying you don't have to be thankful for
well,
Dune.
I mean, I
it
like
could the, be raised by wolves.
I like the blue eyes, the people with the blue eyes, and I saw the commercial.
There you go.
So I'm thankful for that. I'm also, you know, I'm really thankful for all the pimps and prostitutes and the pushers out there who are keeping, you know, everything going right now when we've had such a hard time with COVID. I don't think enough people are thinking about those people, you know. This is a hard time in the economy. What happened to all the prostitutes? What are they doing? You know, what happened to the pimps? And, you know, those people are having a hard time. So I just want people, everybody, to think about those people. Be thankful for them. They really provide a service for our community, you know. So I think we should just have
some recognition. The prostitutes, the pushers.
That's right.
People in the people sounds like a Snoop Dogg lyric.
Well, it's the people that make the streets go. You know
right.
I mean? The streets don't go without those people. They're the engine of the streets.
Sort of the village people of the streets.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, that's very, very poignant. And Robbie, would you like to sing us something right now?
I sure would. This is a tribute to the streets. In fact.
Can't wait.
Yes. So, I'll just sing the song, okay? Tribute to the streets. Here we go. Yep. I was the third brother of five, doing whatever I had to do to survive. I'm not saying everything I did was all right. Trying to break out of the ghetto was a day-to-day fight. Been down so long, getting up didn't cross my mind. But I knew a better life was trying to find. You don't know what you do until you're put under pressure. Across Sesame Street is a hell of a tester. Ha! Across Sesame Street, pimps trying to catch a woman that's weak. Across Sesame Street, pushers won't let the junkie go free. Oh, across Sesame Street, woman trying to catch a trick on the street. Oh baby, across Sesame Street, you can find it all in the streets. Ooh, oh, oh. And I got one more thing that I'd like to talk to y'all about right now. There's a better way out. Snorting that coke, shooting that dope, man, you're copping out. Take my advice, you're either live or die. You gotta be strong if you wanna survive. A family on the other side of town will catch hell without a ghetto around. In every city you find the same thing going down. Harlem is the capital of every ghetto in town. Across 110th Street, pimps trying to catch a woman this week. Ha. Across Sesame Street,
Ashes won't let the junkie go free. Oh, across Sesame Street, a woman trying to catch a chick on the street. Oh, baby, across Sesame Street, you can find it all. You can. Oh, look around you, 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 yeah. Whoo. Oh.
Whoo. Yeah, yeah. Streets, man. Yeah. It ain't easy out there, man. But somebody's got to do it. You know what I mean?
Well, that was amazing.
Thank you. Thank you, man.
Terrific.
That was powerful.
Tribute to all my friends who ain't here no more. You know what I mean? I've seen a lot of things, man, in my lifetime. And they ain't pretty, man.
Yeah, I feel
I've seen dead bodies, man. I've seen overdoses, man. Dead prostitutes. Oh, man, it's just, it gets down on you sometimes, man.
You're turning a deeper shade of blue. You're so sad, like Cookie Monster blue.
I don't think I'm that blue, man. I don't think I'm that blue. Snap right out of that. Yeah, it's okay. Everything's all right.
But this is a time that we, as well as being thankful, we think about family and the past, and we do have regrets and things that make us sad, and it is helpful to talk about them.
The choices that you make, man. The
choices
that lead you to the streets. Yeah. But I'm thankful for all the people that were out on the streets that supported me, you know, even though they might not be here. Pour one out for them. You know what I mean?
Yeah. We've all had, you know, Stu, you've had your, like you said, you've had a breakup with a family.
Yeah. Yeah. It's
tough.
Hard, and sometimes it's easy, you know?
Well, it was on a Thanksgiving meal where Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young, we broke up.
Oof.
We broke up over a turkey.
No.
Now, how long was Bill Cosby in your group? And did you ever consider kicking him out? And was he doing that nonsense when he was singing with you? And I can't imagine him singing either.
Yeah, well, he had a whole banjo album, if you look it up.
No.
Really?
Yeah. Because Steve Martin. But, well, he was in there for a while, and yeah, he started... His old weird Harold started showing up backstage. That was a real guy. Mm. And he was bringing a lot of drugs.
That's too bad.
So that's why we kicked him out, was old weird Harold. The guy was truly weird and very old.
That makes sense, man. That makes sense, man.
And,
and then we got David Crosby to replace him because it just sounded the same.
So you're saying that Cosby, Steve Martin, Phil Nash and Young then got replaced by Crosby, Stills, Just Nash and Young?
Exactly.
So, wait a minute now. Did you do the King Tut song? Were you involved in the King Tut song at all?
Give us the writing process a little bit.
Was that just a solo,
is that
solo
you, Neil joint?
I had a song called Walk Like an Egyptian, which was later covered by the Bengals.
Which was the better version. The better version.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, well, I know.
Walk like an Egyptian.
There you go.
I thought
that's
they produced it up a little too much.
I like that acoustic version.
A lot cuter.
But then Steve heard that and he kind of stole my bit and did King Tut, Funky Tut.
That sucks.
Good song, man. Should have won a Grammy.
It was over Thanksgiving dinner that Jeff Buckley asked me for permission to do a cover of my song, and I told him, nothing bad will happen of this. You do it.
Wow.
You think it's bad that his version was successful?
No. No, I'm not mad about it.
My question is, what was that like for you getting to eat dinner with the Jeff Buckley? Yeah. That must have been massive.
Okay, but look, I was happy to meet with a young, talented man, but I'd already had several albums out and several books of poetry. And
you sound upset, man, but let me tell you something. You know, I did a little song called Disco Duck. And a few years later, this guy, Rick Dees, came along and did Disco Duck, and it was the biggest thing ever. And you know what?
A few hours later?
A few albums later.
Albums
he
later.
He comes along and he does the Disco Duck, and I don't get any credit. Nobody says anything to me. And you know
it's
what?
Weird to have a DJ cover a musician, too.
No kidding, man. You know, somebody who plays music, a disc jockey. But anyway, long story short, man. No skin off my nose, man. Disco Duck is, you know, it sucked. It's a bad song. And, you know, Leonard, you can think the same way about your song, man. I mean, it sucked in its original version. And that other guy made it better. But the song sucks.
Well,
so you don't have to worry.
Easy, Robbie. No one's saying that about play that funky music Blue Boy that was covered and changed a little bit.
Listen, I know exactly how both of you feel. I was at a lake, and there was a young blonde woman standing in front of me, and I said, don't go in that water, it's toxic. And 12 years later, guess what song came out? Toxic by Britney Spears.
Oh,
I know.
Stew.
I know.
And get a gun or something, man.
She's had it bad. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to take the backseat on this one.
That is true. That's what I do. I look at the tragedy in the other person's life and I say, that makes me feel good. I don't have to do
anything. I got a Bronco Sport. I'm killing it.
You got a car. She's got a crazy. You know what I mean? So it all equals out, man.
That's good perspective, Robbie.
Yeah, I think we have reached some good perspective, and that's where I'd like to end this Thanksgiving meal, because that's where the best Thanksgiving meals end, by the fire with us contemplating a good perspective on life.
Absolutely.
But just to button it up, I do want to give Brett a chance to say what he likes to eat on Thanksgiving, because I'm sure that's what our listening audience missed from the first round. I'm sorry about that, Brett. What do they eat around the Morris table on Thanksgiving? We'll just end with that.
Lots of sweet potatoes.
Close.
Close
to mashed potatoes, so I was getting excited.
Yeah, they are close to mashed potatoes.
Kudos. I love all potatoes.
I like those little like cocktail onion things with the green beans. I've always been.
And why don't
that.
You eat that the rest of the year? I remember saying that to my wife once. If you like turkey so much, why don't you eat it whenever you want to and shut up about it on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, shut up. Yeah.
I would have Thanksgiving if someone made it for me the rest of the year.
Seems like that's what it's about. Well, there should just be a restaurant that just serves Thanksgiving every day.
You know, I'm going to go ahead and say it, man. The Thanksgiving food is trash, man. That's why people don't eat it the rest of the year, man.
I mean,
can you imagine having stuffing like once a week? Like your butt would be so big, you couldn't even fit in your house. You know what I mean? you'd be a fatty fat. I mean, gravy every day? Come on, man.
And I'm so sorry to do this. I got to skedaddle. I got to fish some slices of American cheese through sort of the crack in the window for my kids, I think. I think they're getting a little hungry here.
Oh, you should take them out of there. But okay, it's been a pleasure having you all on here. And happy Thanksgiving to everybody. And keep being human.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Can I say one thing?
Yeah, go ahead.
You guys into Bitcoin?
Big time.
All right. Well, I got an opportunity, man. You can just email me.
Brett's always doing this to me, too. Stop it with the Bitcoin.
Just email me. I got a good opportunity for everybody.
Sorry, what's that email so I can write it down?
It's Ronnie. puppet.org.
.org.
Puppet.org.
Yeah. Okay.
All right. Keep being human.
Thanks to Vic Michaelis, Jerry Minor, and Will Hines. Improv for Humans with Matt Besser is an Airwolf production. Produced by Brett Morris and Matt Apodaca. Engineered by Brett Morris. Find our latest merch at budswag.com. Help get the word out by telling a friend about the show today. Make sure to rate, review, and follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. Want more? Find the full archive ad-free episodes, as well as original premium series from Matt and Brett on Stitcher Premium, like Estates of Perfection. Use promo code Estates for a 1 month free trial. For photos, show notes, and more, go to earwolf.com.